Oh, I thought we were. I can't remember. We were talking about that tree. Then you asked me if I had some sweet story.
Yeah, you got some sweet story
from my childhood.
Yeah, doesn't have to be a childhood. Any awesome story.
Does it involve family? Is that where you're?
Well, the question was about family.
Okay,
but I mean, know, I yeah, suppose if you just have
tons
like,
of awesome,
if you
stories.
Just have an awesome story, I'd be happy to hear an awesome story. But the question was about family. It was about family.
Yes. 1 year, can't remember which year. Did a 4th of July. It was when my grandma was living in Grand Island. We did 4th of July there. And I think it was me, my aunt, and her family. And I want to say Aunt Mary was there with Uncle Gabriel. Maybe. Anyways, it was 4th of July. And we were just, we were lighting out fireworks, having a good time. And then, inevitably, there was like a 100-shot missile that was lit and then kicked over towards the house. I'm trying to be like Neo from The Matrix and dodge every single one. And I didn't get hit. But it was still scary nevertheless because, like, the house was getting shot up and the next door neighbor was getting shot up. So that was one crazy experience, I guess. My memory is, like, basically non-existent.
Yeah.
After a certain point, like, I can't remember.
I have a horrible memory, as it is, as we know from the extensive notes that I take for the movie show, because if I don't take those notes, I will not remember what I'm supposed to talk about. But a lot of time, like, I won't remember something. Like, you could be like, oh, man, you remember anything from eighth grade? I'll be like, I don't remember anything from eighth grade. But then I might be having a conversation with someone, and then poof, like, just out of nowhere, like, oh, yeah, you know, I remember there was this time.
Right.
Like, sometimes there just has to be, like, some sort of
trigger.
Yeah, some sort of trigger word to make that memory come back. But otherwise.
See, like, and I remember 1 year. I think I came, because I was living in South Dakota, I came down to spend the summer with my grandma in Grand Island. And I was with a group of friends. We were, like, running around the park, playing tag. And it was, like, it was late at night, because I remember there was a baseball game going on at the time. One of our cousins, he had a baseball game going on. And it was, we're all playing tag. I look behind me, see who's chasing me. Look forward, lights out. I hit a tree. So, I'm out cold. Okay, so this is, I'm telling you as it was told to me.
Okay.
I was out cold. I'm a pretty big boy. And even at the time when I was younger, still a pretty big boy. So, it took like 5 people to carry me back to a lawn chair where I came to. And I was like looking up at the sky and there were stars. I just remember the left side of my face like stinging. So we get back to the house, and I look in the mirror, and it's like, I look like the Elephant Man. And my face is all scratched up, and right now, I feel like I'm in a coma from said incident. This is all just, you know, I'm probably like 85 at this point, and we're enjoying ourselves
from
this podcast.
Oh, well, that's a good coma. I'd be
endless wings. Think I would about be. It. I ate a lot of wings.
I would be honored. I would be honored to be part of your coma.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you're here.
I remember one time when I was a kid, my parents used to make me go to catechism, CCD, every Saturday or every Wednesday after school. Which, if you don't know what CCD is or catechism, it's like Sunday school. For Catholics, only it's not on Sunday, it's on Wednesday after school. In the middle of the week, on the worst day of the week, my opinion, the worst day of the week, I hate Wednesdays, they're the worst.
I like Wednesdays, but that's only because wings are 50 cents.
But when you're a certain age, catechism was in the afternoon. You were done by like 5. And then at some point, it turned into a night thing. Like, you got to a certain age, and it turned into Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was dark out. I think it was the winter time or like winter-ish time. I left the classroom, which mm-hmm. was just part of like the back portion of like the church rectory or whatever you call it, you know, where like they have like, or they serve like food for funerals and stuff like that, you know?
The kitchen?
Well, it wasn't in the kitchen. There's like a dining hall there, and then there's like a couple little classrooms off to the side.
We'll
and
just stuff. Call it the hall.
Okay, we'll call it the hall. I think it's the rectory. I'm not sure. But anyways, I remember leaving, and we all left out this back door, and like some of my friends were like running off, and I was like, hey, I'm going to run and join you. And I ran.
Did you sound
I sounded just like that. And so I started running, and boom, I like... fell flat on my back. There was a power line, like a telephone pole, mm-hmm. and you know, like there's a steel cable that goes from a part of the pole straight like into the ground, like mm-hmm. it's a diagonal.
Right.
And I ran right into that thing because it was dark and I couldn't see it, and I'm a terrible runner. It knocked me flat on my back. It didn't like knock me out or anything. But I remember it hurt. Like, I remember laying on my back for a few seconds, and none of my jerk friends thought, oh, hey, where'd Tyler go? So I got up, and I was so worried. I was so worried that I was going to get home with a great big diagonal line down the center of my face. But no, it did not. I had a little bit of a headache for the night. No marks. Miraculously, no marks. So I guess the moral of the story is if you're going to get injured, do it in the back of a church.
That doesn't sound good. Speaking of jerk friends that didn't realize you were gone, I went to this birthday party when I was younger. We're all having fun. It was all guys. It was a blast. Then we decided to play hide and seek. Well, I had to pee really bad and may or may not have peed on myself because I didn't want to get caught.
It's dedication.
So I peed on myself while they were looking for me. So I walked home and changed. And then, like, they didn't know I was gone. Because, like, I came back. And I'm pretty sure I had, like, a popsicle in my hand, just walking casually. I walked back into the house, and they're like, where'd you go? And I was like, oh, you guys just couldn't find me. And to this day, they still believe that they just couldn't find him.
until they listen to this.
Until they
listen. And they're like, well, we couldn't find him because he peed his pants.
Yes.
You know, you got me beat there. I don't think I have any stories like that.
It was a good story. What was your favorite game to play as a kid?
Hide and seek. The house that I grew up in, it was on the corner. It was like a couple blocks from where my parents live now.
Mm-hmm.
It was like on the corner. And then catty corner. I had an aunt and uncle, and they had a couple kids, but their kids were like older and didn't care about, you know, they weren't playing hide and seek with us. But next door to them was another aunt and uncle with three kids. And then there were some kids that kind of came and went from the neighborhood. Like there was a house that was like almost always for sale or for rent or something. And like people would move in, and a lot of the times the people that moved in would have a kid. So like, there was like a revolving door of like one or two extra kids
mm-hmm.
that would get to play with us. And then next door to me was my good friend Chris Kirshner. And we get like a nice good group. And every once in a while, like my brother's like a couple years older than me. So like there was like a time where he was all in on playing hide and seek with us too. But eventually he like, you know, he got too old. And so it would always be hide and seek. And like the yard I grew up in, I didn't grow up in the yard, but the house I grew up in, the yard was pretty big, but it had very little places to hide. Like there were some outside corners of the house you could tuck away in. There was, I think, a grand total of three trees you could hide behind mm-hmm. and some bushes. For a while, there were some bushes that you could kind of climb into and hide in. There wasn't a whole lot of places to hide, but it was always fun. That was my favorite. That would have been my favorite thing to play.
I played hide and seek once with one of my best friends when I was living in South Dakota. It was just me and him and then two other people. Because it was a relatively small town, you know. Like, you could walk to the other end of the town in, like, 10 minutes. Yeah. We would start on one side, and they would start on one side, and then we would just walk the town. And eventually cross paths and chase each other, and then try and get away from each other, okay. And then just walk the town.
Okay.
It was a little spooky, too, because we always did it at night for some reason. And I remember the middle school, the old middle school, like the windows were all shot out and the gymnasium. Oof. And then there was like this little, so where the, I wouldn't call it a playground because all I had was like two basketball hoops with okay. no nets. But against the building, there was like a staircase
yeah.
going down like into like a basement underneath the building.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But it would always be, like, it'd be uncovered because there was, like, a fence, like, just a really crappy piece of fence over it. It'd be uncovered sometimes and then, like, covered and then it would be uncovered. So, like, I feel like there was something going on down there. It's pretty scary stuff.
It sounds like it. Used to play Ghost in the Graveyard every once in a while whenever we wanted to, like, change up the hide-and-seek routine. And I don't know if you know what Ghost in the Graveyard is. It's pretty much just the opposite of hide and seek, where one person goes and hides,
mm-hmm.
and then the other four or five or however many kids goes and looks for the ghost. That's it. I don't know. I think there's probably a few other rules, but that was like the basic idea of it was just flip the hide and seek and just flip it inside out and run around. My mom once taught me a game that we used to play with Chris Kirshner as well. I don't know if it was a game she made up or if it's a legitimate game, but she called it Run Cat Run. It was basically kickball with two bases, because Chris Kirshner had a tree in his front yard. The tree was always home base, because sometimes we played kickball out there too.
Mm-hmm.
The tree was always home base. The pitcher would roll the ball, bounce the ball, whatever. And then you'd kick it, and then you had to run from the tree to a telephone pole and then back to the tree before the pitcher could tag you or get you out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Like, there was like no other rules to it. And I look back on that and I'm like, I think my mom might have just like
improvised a game for
yeah,
you.
She was like, and I don't know why it was called Run Cat Run, but that's what she called it. Get ready for some crinkly.
Excuse
and
some,
and
me.
Probably some chewing. Why didn't you? You could have eaten that when you had to go upstairs.
I'm hungry now.
I almost ate it.
That's a lie.
I did almost eat it. I love beef sticks so much.
I would have stabbed you with the rest of it.
There wouldn't have been anything left to stab me with.
I have a whole other one.
I would have eaten that one too.
You'd been banned from the basement.
Beef stick makes me think of.
Fundamentals
of Caring.
I know, that's the only reason I eat them.
Recently, I caught up on all my podcasts. Had nothing new, nothing like really new that I wanted to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? I got this rare podcast free time. I went back to our back catalog and re-listened to Fundamentals of Caring. And I gotta say, like, not a terrible episode.
It's one of my favorite episodes.
It was very technically sound. Like, we sounded pretty good. And even though that was the time when we didn't have a mixer.
What were we using?
We were using, I think your snowball and my snowball. And it was all kinds of wonky to mix them together. But I was listening to it, though. And I was like, it really is a good movie. And it really made me want to go back and rewatch Kodachrome, because I feel like that movie was better.
It wasn't. I could see why you thought it was better, though, because
it was better. Well, and no, it had Ed Harris.
You're into cameras and stuff. Which I was gonna talk to you about that, huh? Because we got a camera.
Yeah.
Didn't know if you ever wanted to like live record.
I have a webcam.
That works too.
The thing is, we need a fast internet connection. I once speed tested your internet on my laptop, and it was not fast enough.
Well, thanks.
I don't know. Who's your internet provider? CenturyLink?
Glenwood.
Glenwood? Yeah, I don't think it's fast enough. But otherwise, yeah, I'd be...
Well, I mean, you got to think there's like 18 different people on the Wi-Fi.
Right, right. I'm just saying that's why we can't do it. Otherwise, I'd be perfectly happy to do a live episode once or twice or however many times. But yeah, I checked your internet one time and was like, no.
Why don't you just use my hotspot?
Because I don't think that would be fast enough either.
I feel like it's faster than the internet.
Let's see here. Let's we'll pull up the old Google Chrome. But yeah, I got the webcam for Christmas because I was like, you know, I wouldn't really mind live streaming something every once in a while, and I need a decent camera because the camera that comes on my computer, it's like super garbage.
Trash.
Here we go.
Solid 170,
yeah. Yeah. Solid 150 K.
370.
You need like 12 megs.
Oh.
at the very least, 12
there lies
megs.
The problem.
If my house had more room and a decent recording space, be like, yeah, we could record there and broadcast.
Do your parents have good Wi-Fi?
They have okay.
I would imagine it's just them.
Well, they have CenturyLink, which doesn't get up super fast either, though. I use USA Communications because they offer fiber internet. So, like, where Charter maxes out at, I think Charter at least used to max out. When I used to have them maxed out around, I think, 40 megs, my plan maxes out at 100.
Oh.
You can get plans that max out at 200 if you really want. Like, we had 100. Actually, I think we had 50. No, we had 100. They raised our prices up, and I told them that I was going to leave. I was like, meh, you know what? I'm going to go to Charter. You guys raised my prices. My discount period's over, so I'm going to go. And the lady there, she's like, well, sorry to see you leave. Like, okay. And then I was like, well, so what do I need to do to cancel my stuff? And I can't remember what she told me, but she gave me instructions. So I was like, okay, well, I'll do that then. And then I hung up, and about 2 minutes later, she calls back. She's like, oh, hey, I talked to my manager. Looks like we can get you that sweet deal again. I was like, okay. So we stuck at 100 megs at a nice discounted price.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the course of like a year, they just very sneakily, they kept our price the same, but they raised our speed up to 150.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, they gave us 50. They gave us like a bunch of extra speed for no extra cost. And then they raised it up to 200 for no extra cost. I was like, this is awesome. And it was super cool. We could stream things on the Xbox, play things on our phones, stream things on the phones, the laptop, everything going crazy, and like not even touch the threshold of our internet speed. Our discount period ended, and they're like, oh, well, now your price is going to go back up. But if you want to go back down to 100, I was like, well, yeah, okay. Because we never asked for any higher speeds.
Right.
So you go ahead and just put us back at 100. And if I remember correctly, when I went down to 100, it was actually a little bit less than our discounted rate was.
Mm-hmm.
Because over the course of that year, while they were making their speeds higher, they were raising their prices, like, in general.
Right.
And so what I had been paying turned out to be the low tier, but was still paying more because I had been locked into the price. It was very confusing and very frustrating. But either way, the point is, if I had space in my house...
It all leads back.
If we had space in my house to record, we could very easily do a live show, and Liz could still watch Netflix.
Boom.
But I have no place. I literally have no place in my house to record. That would be decent for recording. My bedroom is the nicest place, would be the most quiet place, but it's right next to Zoe's room. And it'd be like, every time I said something, I'd be worried about waking her up. And across it's my bed, it's my bedroom, then Zoe's room, and then next to Zoe's room is the bathroom, and we have a very, very, very leaky shower that just gushes water constantly because we don't have money for a plumber. And it's very noisy. So
like your water's always running?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we can we can pull the, you know how like shower, it's like a shower bathtub combination. Mm-hmm. And you can like pull the little lever up to stop the water from, you know, to get the shower to, you know what I mean? Like
the psh,
yeah, to yeah. get the shower to go and stop the faucet from running on the, right. on the bottom. Well, the water's always running from the bottom and you can pull the little thing up, but I think enough water, like, it's just gotten to the point where it must be wearing out in there because no matter how hard you pull that thing up, the water just keeps going. And then it just keeps going from the shower head too. As like we are wasting a lot of water because we can't afford a plumber. And it drives me nuts because it's super loud. If you don't close the bathroom door, it's almost hard to hear the TV sometimes.
Jesus.
Yeah. And it's like whenever Liz takes the kids somewhere, I'm like, oh man, I could like record something. I could work on some mini cast or something. But then it's like, oh no, I can't. Cause there's a noisy ass shower constantly running in my bathroom.
Well, at least you can go take a shower whenever.
Well,
any hour of the night.
Well, someday that's gonna be fixed and it won't be a problem anymore. But I don't know how I got to complaining about my shower. Because it's noisy and I can't record there. It was more of a
venting session, and I appreciate that. It lets me know.
I asked Liz what she wanted for Christmas this year. She said, I just want that shower fixed. I was like, okay, well, I'll let Santa know. I was thinking more along the lines of, like, a mug.
That says off all day on it. I saw that headlight debacle on the car. I hate Walmart so much.
So much.
They're trash. You know, okay, so for a while I was riding on the donut on my car. Because my rim, first I thought I just had a leaky tire. Took it in to get it patched up. Within like 5 minutes, they call me out there. The guy brings me out to the shop. He's like, can't fix this. And I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, as you can see, your rim here. And my rim was, like, bent a little bit.
Right.
And I thought that's what he meant, like, that he couldn't fix and that's why my tire was leaking. But it was because there was a huge gash on my tire.
Oh.
So I took it here to, I want to say it was Miller Tire, maybe?
Okay. Like Miller Body?
No.
Place over by the old grocery store?
What am I thinking of?
Place down south? Jim's OK Tire? Jim's OK Tire.
Yeah, they are
awesome.
Yeah. I took it over there. He was like, I can fix this in like 5 seconds. Which he did. And what it would have cost me to get a new rim and a new tire, we're talking like...
Oh, yeah.
Buku bucks.
Right.
But I think he did it for like 35.
Nice.
And so I have all four perfectly tires now.
Nice. This is. I'm going to try to make this as concise as I can.
I don't know what that means.
To the point.
Oh.
Because I know sometimes, very often, I timed it the other day. That cop story that I told, it was like 5 minutes. That story's not a 5 minute story. I need to be better on like. What?
Oh, your cop debacle?
Yeah. It's like, I need to be better at storytelling. From someone who claims to be a novelist.
You did tell me a long story about a tree just now.
I did. This is true. This is true. All right. Anyways, we'll be quick. So I took my car in to Walmart for an oil change. The only reason I took it to Walmart was because I needed my headlight fixed. And I knew that they fixed headlights. I took it in 9 o'clock one morning. It took them 2 hours. 2 hours to fix it. I was the first one there. There wasn't anybody in front of me. I couldn't figure out why it took so long.
Yeah.
But it did. But oil changed, light fixed, all fine. Liz, on Halloween, she needs, her headlight goes out. She needs an oil change at the same time too. So that was like a weird thing.
Right.
And so she takes it, She calls Walmart. She's like, how long would it take to get an oil change and a headlight fixed? This was Halloween. And they're like, probably about 45 minutes for the oil change. And I don't know how long for the headlight. But if it's going to take too long, we can just, if you just need the headlight, we'll just put that in line and we can get that done in no time. She's like, okay. She goes thinking, whole thing, 45 minutes. Worst comes to worst, 45 minutes just to get her headlight fixed. She gets there. They're like, 2 hours. She's like, you guys told me 45 minutes. Like, well, you see, the car goes into the oil line for the oil change. We can't change a headlight over on the oil line. Right. It's got to go into the tire line. The tire line's got 7 people ahead of you. So if you want your headlight fixed, 2 hours. Like, she's like, that makes no sense. You guys don't have a wrench that you can just carry from the tire line to, to the oil line?
And don't cross this line, boy.
So she's like, really upset. She's like, fine, forget it. Don't do either. She comes home. Zoe goes trick-or-treating. Okay. She takes the car to Walmart again, like on like a Saturday or something. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where this little headlight debacle thing comes in. She takes it there. She says, I need my oil changed and my headlight fixed. The only reason we went for my car, headlight. Only reason, because I hate fixing things in my car. Right. Worst thing. So she's like, only reason she's going there, because she needs a headlight fixed, and and we don't know how to do stuff. So she goes, they're like, you got to get an upgraded oil change. And she's like, fine, whatever. It's like an extra $10. Okay. 2 hours later, so they're like, your car's done. She goes out, headlight not fixed. So she goes and she talks to the person like at the register, says, my headlight's not fixed. Why isn't my headlight fixed? Person in the register takes her out to the mechanic or specialist, whatever they're called there.
Right.
And he says, oh no, this headlight, way too complicated to fix. You got to take the whole front bumper off. We don't get paid enough for anything that complicated. Basically what he told her. Her exact words when she told me the story was, we only get paid X amount for headlights only cost like this much money. Mm. And that's way too much work for this. So we can't change your headlight here. So she buys a headlight, goes to YouTube, finds a video, says, oh, you just need this special wrench. Does it in my parents' driveway, 25 minutes.
Right.
Walmart, 2 hours just to tell her no. And made her get an oil change upgrade.
Yeah. When it comes to things like with my car, like serious things, I personally prefer just watching a video, doing it myself. Just because, I mean, I want to learn. And my dad's always there to help me anyways. So, like, if I take it over there, we'll both just watch the video and then work from there.
Right.
And usually, 9 times out of 10, we get it fixed the first time. The only, I think, problem that we've been stumped is I had a 2006 Buick Lucerne. It was gold. The alternator was like buried under everything. And so that was an instance where we did have to take off like the front bumper and remove a bunch of hoses. And it was so complicated. And then the spark plugs, I remember we did. And they were like in the way back of the engine. So it was like impossible to see where they were. And he ended up doing that one just by himself because I think I went somewhere or something. Yeah, I prefer do-it-yourself videos.
I can kind of make I've changed headlights with do-it-yourself videos before. I get so frustrated, though. Like, I'm not very good at following instructions like that. Oh, there we go. But I can do it. It just usually takes me way longer than it really should. And then it makes me feel like shit anyways. Because it's like, it took this dude 5 minutes to change this headlight. 2 hours later, I'm somehow covered in grease. And the headlight's pointed up into the sky.
Right. How did I take my transmission out? I was trying to change this light.
Over the course of the last couple of years, I have learned how to change a tire, though, to the point where I could, like, the first time, yeah, I admit, I never took a shop class. I didn't know how to change a tire. Mm-hmm. I watched a video, learned how to change a tire, and I've had to change tires several times in like the last 2 years.
You and me both.
But real quick before we go, because I know our timer just went up. So everyone, you can stop taking notes if you want. But back to Jim's OK tire. I had a flat tire. Liz hit a storm drain coming into town on the highway by the elevators over there.
Oh, was that when she had it sitting over there by CPI?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had a storm drain, put a huge gash in the side of the tire. I was like, I really don't want to change this tire. I'll change it if I have to. That's what I needed that jack for.
Mm-hmm.
But I called Jim's OK Tires. Like, you guys have like a towing service or something? And they're like, oh, no. But what we do is we'll go there, take the tire off, take it back to our shop, put a new tire on the rim, and then take that tire back to your car and put it back on, and you'll be good to go. And they sold me a used tire because I don't want to put a new tire on there and make it all wonky and out of balance. So they sold me a used tire, and I don't know exactly how much the used tire was, but they sold me a used tire, ran across town, because it's literally across, not that Minden's huge, but it's literally across town, took the tire off, took it back, put a new tire on, and then took it back again and installed it on my car. Whole thing, like $70.
They're amazing.
They are. They are so freaking cool there. And they were so nice and so helpful. And I was like, why would I ever go somewhere else at this point?
5 stars.
But anyways, that will wrap up our show. Hope you all enjoyed it. All right. We are going to be back next week with yet another question. If you want to get in touch with us, and you know you do, you can do that. Remember, we need a topics list. We need that topics list with a secret word, whatever that secret word is. Make sure you put in the subject line, topics list, episode number, and topics list.
What episode is this?
11. Jeez. This will be episode 11.
Crazy.
And put in that secret word along with your topics list. Remember, you don't need every topic. You don't need a summary of the topics. We just need a simple, easy list. And you just need more topics than anyone else. And no one has ever written into this show yet.
You could literally write tree.
Yeah, you could literally write tree and whatever the secret word is. And you can get yourself a prize. I don't know what those prizes...
So simple.
I don't know what those prizes are right at the moment, but they'll be listed in the show notes, and we will happily send you them your way. All you have to do is send that topics list to offallday@outlook.com. For more information, you can find us on Instagram, where it is @offallday. Twitter. Yes. Twitter @offallday.
Wait.
Podcast. The Twitter and Instagram I might have flipped around.
Instagram is Off All Day Podcast.
Okay. Instagram @OffAllDayPodcast. Twitter @OffAllDay. We have a website, OffAllDayPodcast.com. We also have a Facebook page where it's Facebook.com/OffAllDayPodcast. Once again, the email is OffAllDay@Outlook.com. Send all that stuff our way. We'll send something your way. And we'll be back next weekend or next week. We will be back next week with yet another question and more fun answers.